WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to WVUA 90.7 FM, Tuscaloosa, Student Section, Fantasy Sports. My name is Jamie Martinez, and I'm joined by Jake Riker and Lincoln Burkholder. Today, we're going to be covering Sunday's top performers, biggest busts, and surprises of the week. We'll also be going over our Monday Night Football fantasy predictions, as well as our top waiver wire pickups. Don't miss out on our must-start, must-sit, and panic or pause segments either. With all of that being said, let's get into it with Jake.
Alrighty, let's start with the week top performers. We got to give a shout out to AJ Brown. He's not my week top performer,
but AJ
Brown had a great week, over 150 yards, two touchdowns, proving himself to be maybe a top five receiver in the league. But however,
yeah, he's top two.
Anyway, I don't know if you guys saw, but there was a running back that played out in the West Coast this week, and he was rumbling and stumbling and bumbling and jumbling. The bus was rolling in that 4 o'clock window game. Gus Edwards is my top performer, put up 29.4 fantasy points. He was actually, like, what did we say, the sixth highest performer, so he wasn't the top performer. But I got to give a shout-out to Gus Bus because Lincoln was a must-start for him.
He was my number one must-start.
And I didn't believe him, but he put up 80 yards on the ground and found the end zone not once, not twice, but three times on Sunday. And gave the Ravens that win.
I was wondering why Lamar's points were a little low, but Gus Edwards, he went nuclear, I guess.
And he proved to Baltimore this week that I don't care about Derrick Henry. You're all not trading for Derrick Henry. I'm your RB1, Gus Bus.
There's already a king in town.
It was a statement game.
We must pray he stays healthy.
Yeah.
My top performer is the number one performer of the week. It's CeeDee Lamb out in Dallas. We were waiting on this one all year. Seemed like it took forever, but 41 fantasy points on Sunday against the Rams.
Golly.
12 catches on 14 targets for 158 yards and two touchdowns. He even carried the ball once for 12 yards. An absolutely amazing game from CeeDee Lamb. Dak Prescott played incredible as well. It was a great game all around from Dallas.
Did you just say Dak Prescott played incredible?
He played incredible. but yeah, CeeDee Lamb, the second-round pick in the large majority of fantasy leagues, had been pretty meh for most of the season. He was still good, but pretty below expectations for him. Went nuclear on Sunday, and it's about time coming off that bye. But yeah, 41 for CeeDee Lamb. That's your top performer of the week in standard PPR formats.
I saw some word today that there was a full fantasy lineup that would have lost to CeeDee Lamb this week.
Yeah, there was.
It was like Mahomes, Christian Watson, Billy's defense.
An actual lineup.
Yeah, like a full lineup. That's crazy.
That's CeeDee Lamb, absurd. Big week from CeeDee Lamb. But I'm going to move over to a different receiver who has not had the best year, was involved in a bunch of trade talks, but I think it's safe to say after this week, he's staying where he is, and that is DeAndre Hopkins of the Tennessee Titans. He went crazy against the Atlanta Falcons, 6 targets, 4 catches, 128 yards, and 3 touchdowns through the air.
Turning half of his targets into touchdowns is insane.
That's incredible. A Randy Moss type day for DeAndre Hopkins. He was only projected 13.37 on NFL Fantasy, but he more than doubled that with 34.8. He was incredible, all in thanks to his new quarterback, the Mayo man, Will Levis.
Who?
Yeah, he came in, second-round pick for the Titans, and he went ballistic. We'll talk about him a little bit later. But D-Hop, major day for the veteran receiver. Big shout-out. Didn't have the greatest year. His only other major performance was a 22-point performance against the Colts in Week 5, and he goes crazy this week. It's time for that D-Hop breakout this year. Big shout-out.
We honestly could have put him in biggest surprises. ESPN
literally
had him at 12.7 projected for the week and a fringe wide receiver 2 starter.
Yeah, that's absurd.
Nuke is back, baby.
He's back.
Shout out to Will Levis.
Shout out to the Mayo.
I will say I was not a Will Levis believer.
No,
but
nobody was.
Very happy to see him cool to see him, his family there this weekend as well in Tennessee. Hope it works out for Will Levis.
For sure. Let's move on to our biggest surprises.
All right. My biggest surprise, I got a Denver Bronco.
What?
And Javonte Williams, the running back. He's been quiet all year long in fantasy. And there's two reasons why he's on my biggest surprise.
Talk about
one. is because he actually scored 18.8 fantasy points, a good solid week for the Denver running back. And two, I am surprised that Javonte Williams, managed to touch the ball 30 times on Sunday and only scored 18.8 fantasy points. It's a wild stat, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because it was snowing. Not a lot of yards.
It wasn't
carry.
Actually snowing.
Well, I'm trying to help your boy out. But a great week for Javonte Williams. It's cool to see him doing well again after his big days and going all the way back to UNC.
Go Tar Heels.
To a very exciting rookie year from Javonte Williams, but that's my big surprise.
Big injury, came back from it. Love Javonte Williams.
He's back. My biggest surprise, he was on my waiver wire column last week. It's Trey McBride in Arizona. He went like halfway into the third quarter with like one catch for 12 yards.
Oof.
But it was a light show after that. 10 catches on 14 targets, 95 yards and a touchdown for the Arizona tight end. 25.5 fantasy points this week. If he's still on your waiver wire, I would fix that immediately. Tight end one this week, I believe. Tight end one in total points this week was Trey McBride in Arizona.
He made me so upset. I was watching that game on the plane.
Just killing.
I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And his touchdown, don't even get me started on his touchdown.
Against a fantastic linebacking core.
Yeah, it should not have even been a touchdown. Like, the NFL rules just got changed. He caught the ball. He got over the first down marker. The defense started to push him back. No whistle blown. Defense starts to just, like, let go, which, I mean, you can blame that on the Baltimore defense a little bit. But, you know, McBride did a great job.
Played through the whistle.
And then he just walked in the end zone. I was like,
6 points is 6 points.
Yeah, you take that.
Big fantasy week for him.
Big fantasy week. But my biggest surprise, I already touched on him a bit earlier. It was the guy throwing DeAndre Hopkins all those touchdowns, and that was Will Levis, the rookie quarterback. Drafted in the second round, he was the third string guy behind Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis. But he comes into the game after Willis goes down, goes out, and scores himself 26.62 fantasy points, 19 of 29, 238 yards, 4 touchdowns, only sacked twice, also racked up 11 rushing yards. Who saw this coming? Nobody.
I did not.
No.
I will not lie on air right now. I did not see this coming.
No. I was not a Will Levis believer, but all to the kid, man.
Exactly.
I mean, he balled out. He truly showed the people that only looked at box scores going into his Kentucky box scores going into the draft why he should have been a first round pick. And I know it's one game, but I mean, how can you not love what you see?
Yeah, the Falcons defense is not atrocious. They have good corners. They have Jesse Bates and AJ Terrell, but Will Levis cooked them. He had those deep touchdowns to Hopkins and Westbrook Ikhine. Incredible day for Will Levis. He's going to be the starter from now on if I were to make a guess.
Yeah, he should be.
Yeah.
100%. I think it was one of the touchdowns to Hopkins.
It was
a cross
beautiful field
throw where he rolled out right away from the route and threw the ball 70 yards in the air. D-Hop didn't have to slow down to catch it.
He just
walked into the end zone
insane.
With the football. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, Will Levis.
And another thing that I think he proved for being a starter in Tennessee, and I know it goes away from fantasy a little bit, but you know, he's still a fantasy quarterback. Go pick him up in leagues. We'll get into that waiver wires. But the way apparently Malik Willis was getting booed in Tennessee every time he came onto the field, and Will Levis cleared that up immediately in postgame preference. I mean, he was a great teammate, picked up Malik. Not Malik, I mean, that's Malik Willis, and said, look, he's going to be a part of this team winning and losing, and the locker room's got him. He's got him in that.
Yeah.
I mean, your quarterback one needs to do that. And
yeah, for
all to Will Levis.
Will Levis already looking like a veteran. He racked up more touchdowns in that game than Ryan Tannehill has all season.
Yeah.
So Will Levis, it's safe to say he's starting quarterback from now on. So with that being said, we can move on to our biggest busts of the week.
I might have to stand up for this one.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going to go on my Philadelphia rant. My biggest bust is the Philly defense.
Atrocious.
I mean, I had them in so, like, almost all my leagues this week, and I know biggest bust, oh, you should pick up. I mean, there wasn't a lot of players that had a horrendous week.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's a couple guys. But the Philly defense had -3 points in ESPN leagues against the Washington Commanders offense. And I understand, you know, it's a divisional game, all this, blah, blah, blah. You know, anybody can beat anybody. The Commanders beat them last year to make them not undefeated. But come on, Philly. It is the Commanders' offense, and you are ruining fantasy weeks, fantasy teams, fantasy leagues. Especially, I'm probably upset because it's my fantasy leagues. But -3 points in an ESPN league against the Washington Commanders' offense, I mean, it's ridiculous. They're my biggest bust this
mm-hmm.
week. They need to get it together.
For real.
In Philly, period.
Yeah, this right here, this is my favorite segment of the year. I got Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. The Denver defense, they gave up 70 points to the Miami Dolphins, I think, 4 weeks ago, and then proceeded to give up 34 to the Commanders the week prior to that, and 31 to the Bears the week after that. Shut the Chiefs down on Sunday. Patrick Mahomes, 241 yards, no touchdowns, 2 picks, and a fumble.
That's ridiculous.
5.64 wow. ESPN fantasy points for the QB1 in the league, not in fantasy. That's Josh Allen right now, and it's definitely not Mahomes after this week.
Nope.
And Travis Kelce, not an awful week, but for a Denver defense that he has regularly torched in his career, he had 9 catches for 124 yards against him 2 weeks ago. 6 catches, 58 yards. It's the end of the stat line.
Yeah.
And that was the top performer on the Chiefs for the entire game. This is the greatest Monday in Denver Broncos history since we won the Super Bowl. And I will be basking in the glory of a 5-point Mahomes game for the rest of the week.
And not to mention, this is wild stat, fun stat that I'd like to throw out there. This is Patrick Mahomes' yeah. first loss
mm-hmm.
against an AFC West opponent, division rival on the road of his entire career.
It's also his first loss against a team who was 2 games or more under 500. He was 25-0 in those games. And he was
insane.
Is this, I don't want to jump to, we can't jump to conclusions on a man who's won 3 MVPs and 2 Super Bowls already, 2 Super Bowl MVPs as well. Like, what is going on? Like, he has looked...
Sean Payton happened.
He's... Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm sorry, Vance Joseph. I will never doubt you again.
Yeah.
Shannon Sharp said something this morning. He's like, Chiefs fans, Patrick Mahomes fantasy owners.
Yep.
Are we worried a little bit?
I haven't been convinced of any of the Chiefs' wins. Like, none of them have been, like, mind-blowing, like, dominant performances this year.
They could have lost to the Jets and the Vikings.
Literally, yeah. None of those performances from the Chiefs and their wins have been, like, convincing to me. And it showed against Denver, who shut down Patty Mahomes. So I'm going to move on to my biggest bust of the week, and that's Puka Nacua of the Los Angeles Rams, the rookie sensation, wide receiver 4 in fantasy football, only ended up with 3 catches and 43 yards against the Dallas Cowboys, who shut them down. Just Matt Stafford could not get it going, and neither could Puka Nacua. Cooper Kupp didn't have himself much of a day either, but Nacua, who's the wide receiver 4, averaging 19 points per game, to only have 7.3 on the week, that's extremely disappointing. I get it. He's a rookie. He still saw 7 targets, which was more than DeAndre Hopkins saw, but, I mean, they were not working out. He was getting shut down. They didn't even have Trayvon Diggs out there, so it's sad to see for Puka Nacua owners. He has been a little off and on. He had 6.6 against the Cardinals a few weeks ago, but I mean, he has plenty of 20 and 30 point performances to make up for that. So
yeah, we're not letting Cooper Kupp off the handle either. 4 catches, 21 yards.
Yeah, no.
On 10 targets.
Mm-hmm. Not great for him either. So the Rams receivers got shut down by that Cowboys defense. Looks like it's safe to say that Cowboys defense is back after being embarrassed a few weeks ago. With that being said, we're going to be right back after a short intermission for our Monday Night Football fantasy predictions. We'll see you soon.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to WVUA 90.7 FM, Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. We're going to jump right into our Monday Night Football fantasy predictions for the Detroit Lions and the Las Vegas Raiders. Zach Elrod, Mr. Producer Man, what you got?
Well, going into this game, the league, it's been very weird lately, the NFL. I mean, big teams, big-time teams have been losing. And, I mean, they've been having close games with not necessarily the greatest teams in the league. And for that reason, I think it's still going to – I think the Lions are going to come out with it. But it's going to be a very close game. I got it, the score being 21-17.
Okay.
Lions winning. And because of Jimmy Garoppolo coming back, I think Davante Adams is going to go off tonight. Just because of Jimmy Garoppolo, I think he's going to help him a lot with it, you know, feeding him the ball. So I'm looking for Davante Adams having 75-plus yards receiving, maybe even sneaking a touchdown. I think Devontae's going to have the game that people are – he's going to have a comeback. I definitely see it.
I'm really hoping so. Big Davante Adams guy, Fresno State legend. Jake, what you got?
I'm all with Zach. I agree. I think it's going to be a good game. The Lions are coming off a rough loss to the Ravens, a blowout. And the Raiders have just looked shaky all year. But, you know, I'm all about upsets, and especially this time of year, a little spooky season. I mean, why not? I think the Raiders are going to screw around, and they're going to go win this game tonight, 28-27. And the thing I agree the most with Zach that he touched on is Jimmy Garoppolo's back tonight. And the Raiders are not a great team, but they are a much better team when Garoppolo is at the helm. Jacobs plays much better. Adams plays much better. And I think that's why they have a shot tonight, and I think that's why they win. And then my biggest performer is actually the wide receiver one in Detroit, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Jared Goff loves St. Brown, no matter how bad they play. Hence the Ravens game last week, and they only scored 6 points. Amon-Ra still put up near 30 fantasy points, so I think he
19
goes,
targets.
Yeah, I think he goes for 11 for 107 and a touchdown. But the Raiders get the win.
Crazy, I like it.
I do have the Lions winning, but the Lions, I feel like I was going to go with the same score prediction that Zach had at 21-17, but I thought about it, and the Lions are just like the kind of football team that would score a garbage time touchdown with a minute and 30 seconds left in the game, despite already being up by 4 points. So I picked them to win 28-17. The Raiders definitely are a better team when Jimmy Garoppolo is on the field. It wouldn't stun me at all if they won tonight. But on the road in Detroit, I would expect the Lions to get the job done this week after a brutal loss last week. My top performer for the night is Jahmyr Gibbs, the Alabama product, 12th overall pick. I've got him going 12 attempts, 54 yards, 7 catches, 49, and a touchdown. I think he'll be busy through the air once again this week, as he was last week. And they finally gave him the touches, and he did electric things with it. So I would expect them to give him those same touches this week. And I think you're looking north of 20 fantasy points if Jahmyr Gibbs is in your lineup. Lions get the dub tonight.
I have to agree with literally everything he said. I also had Jahmyr Gibbs as my big performer. He's facing the number 27 ranked defense against the running back, which are the Raiders. I have him going for 15 carries, 88 yards, a touchdown, 4 catches for 20 yards, and the Lions defeating the Raiders 27-13. I get Jimmy Garoppolo makes the Raiders much better, but as a 49er fan, I've seen Jimmy Garoppolo for too long, and he's a bit of a turnover machine, and I think the Lions have the potential to force a lot of turnovers. They didn't do it against the Ravens, I will say that, but the Raiders are not the Ravens. So
thank you for that.
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens have a MVP level quarterback, and I'm not going to sit here and say Jimmy Garoppolo is near an MVP level quarterback. So I think the Lions handle the Raiders with some ease today. Sorry to all my family out in the Central Valley, big Raiders fans, but I got to do what I got to do. Detroit takes this one 27-13, and that's my Monday Night Football fantasy prediction. Let's move on to our waiver wire pickups of the week. Some solid options out there. I mean, not as bad as last week. There was like nothing last week. No. So decent pickups this week. Jake, where you got?
I got a little surprised my waiver wire pickup. I saw a notification today that the Bills are signing a free agent running back in Leonard Fournette.
Lenny Fortnite.
Touchdown vulture Leonard Fournette.
Playoff Lenny, I should say.
Yep.
Now, I don't blame me if you go pick up playoff Lenny and he doesn't do anything. You're like, oh my gosh, Jake said to go pick him up. Pick him up as a safeguard option. Obviously, James Cook is still there. The Bills are pass first offense. There's no question with that. But you never know. I mean, Leonard Fournette could come in and just change the Bills' offense and somehow randomly be their running back one and just get a ton of carries. So pick him up. Hold him deep on your bench, see if it's any worth, and if it's not, your team is just as good as it was before you had him.
Yep.
I've got well, first I want to shout out the two tight ends I shouted out last week, Dalton Kincaid and Trey McBride. If they're still on your waiver wire, change that immediately. They shouldn't be. But I want to shout out two wide receivers this week. One of them is rostered in 51.4% of leagues. I think Jake shouted him out the other week. It's Josh Downs in Indianapolis. He had another solid game this week.
Go Tar Heels.
14.2 points on 9 targets, 7 catches, 72 yards. That is now 4 straight games that he's gone over 10 fantasy points. And in 2 of them, he's gone over 15. He had 23.5 2 weeks ago. So if he's still there and you're looking for a flex option, he's a solid guy that I would go pick up. Gardner Minshew's in for the rest of the year, and he clearly loves him. So go get Josh Downs if you can. And the other guy I want to shout out, especially if you're in a deep league, is DeMario Douglas.
Douglas, New England Patriot.
Yeah,
New
I England. Like that pickup with the Kendrick Bourne injury.
Yeah,
that's the main reason I'm thinking about it, because Kendrick Bourne now done for the year, unfortunately. He's been the biggest producer in New England's receiving corps. But just 2 weeks ago, DeMario Douglas had 4 catches on 6 targets for 54 yards. And he had a carry for 20 yards this past week, 7 targets, 5 catches, 25 yards. He's by far the most dynamic player they have in that offense, and I would expect them to continue to try and use him as much as they can, especially now missing Kendrick Bourne for the rest of the year. So DeMario Douglas, if you're looking for a dart throw, I would have no problem getting him on my team as soon as possible.
Shout out Pop Douglas. Shout out Alex Chasen as well, biggest DeMario Douglas fan you'll ever meet. You know, this is for you, Jake Reichert. We already shouted him out today.
Oh,
waiver wire pickup, Gus Edwards.
Yep.
He only rostered in 53.8% of leagues, which I find crazy.
No shot.
Yeah, 12%? I mean,
that's crazy.
53.8.
That's insane.
Wow.
Yeah. He had 21 attempts this week, including 2 catches, 80 yards, 3 touchdowns. Did fumble once, but who cares? 3 touchdowns will definitely make up for that. He's been incredible. He's definitely the number one RB out in Baltimore. But I also want to shout out another guy who has been fantastic this year. He's a tight end, 18. Doesn't sound great, but it's Jake Ferguson.
Yeah. I agree. He was on my list for waiver. You are too. That's awesome.
Yeah, Jake Ferguson's been great. He had himself a touchdown last week, 4 catches for 47 yards. He's one of the highest targeted players in the red zone in the NFL. It's him, Rashee Rice, a couple guys up there. So if you're looking for some touchdown dependent tight ends, because tight ends very slim this year, Jake Ferguson could be your guy. He's available in almost every league. He's only rostered in 24.4%. So get yourself Jake Ferguson if you need some touchdowns. But there's also some other great tight end options out there, like Trey McBride and Dalton Kincaid. Shout out Kincaid. He had 17 points this week. I sat him for George Kittle because George Kittle went crazy this week too. But it's all right. We're going to be right back after a short intermission for our Week 9 must-starts. We'll see you soon.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to WVUA 90.7 FM, Tuscaloosa, student section, fantasy sports. We're going to jump right in with our must-starts for Week 9 of the NFL season. Let's start with Jake.
All right, my two must-starts. My first guy is a wide receiver. I can't believe I'm praising the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I'm going to do it. The wide receiver one or two. I don't really know who's the one or two.
It's weird.
It is a weird situation. But I got Deontay Johnson against the Tennessee Titans. I think he's a must-start. He's been dealing with a little bit of injury at the beginning of the year. He went down in week one, came back in week seven. His first week back from injury put up 12.9, so that's basically 13. And then last week he had 14 targets in the rain, not to mention, and put up 16.5 points against the Jaguars in a loss, too. Next week they play Tennessee. I just think Deontay Johnson's a great start. I mean, the Steelers' offense is looking for answers, and I think he's probably the best player on their offense.
Yeah.
Or one of the best weapons, I should say. George Pickens, you could say, but I don't know.
He's whatever.
And then my second best start is Rashad White, the running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's had a great past couple weeks, and they're playing Houston next week, whose defenses look shaky. And it's just the Houston Texans, you never know. But White is getting a lot of receptions. He's great for PPR leagues. If you have him in a PPR league, start him.
I've got two guys who we've already talked about today, so I won't go into too much detail here, but it's we're going to run it back. It's Gus Edwards again.
Wow.
If you've got him on your team, put him in your lineup. I'm begging. Like it was, I was serious last week. I'm begging this week. On my hands and knees, put Gus Edwards in your lineup.
The Gus bus, the bus has left.
He plays the Seahawks
station.
This week, who haven't been awful against the run. They did just add Leonard Williams from the Giants today, but I would still expect him to, if the Ravens get anywhere near inside the 10-yard line at any point in this game, Gus Edwards is going to touch the football. So, and if he gets in, it's 6 fantasy points, and your day is basically set. He probably can't do any worse than 10 if he scores, if he gets in the end zone. So, yeah, put him in your lineup. My other guy, I already mentioned him in the waiver wire column, it's Josh Downs. He gets an easy matchup this week against a Carolina secondary that, despite playing well against Houston last week, has overall been very disappointing this season. J.C. Horn may be back next week, but I'm not sure. And even if he is, he'd be guarding Michael Pittman Jr. So Josh Downs, favorite one of Gardner Minshew's favorite targets. Get him in your lineup this week against the Panthers.
All right, my first must-start for the week of Week 9 is a group of people. It's literally everybody for the Bills versus Bengals primetime game because I predict that will be a shootout. The Bengals offense is back. They just dominated San Francisco in every facet of the game. Joe Mixon had his biggest game of the year. T. Higgins got involved. Ja'Marr Chase had himself 25 points. Tyler Boyd found the end zone. Joe Burrow went 18 straight completions, only missed on 4 passes out of his 32 attempts. That Bengals offense is lethal. They're going to spread the ball to everybody. Everybody's been getting involved, so I'm loving that versus the Bills. And for the Bills, Josh Allen's the quarterback one in fantasy. Stephon Diggs is no pushover. He's one of the top receivers in the NFL. Gabe Davis has been fantastic this year, much more consistent than years prior. And Dalton Kincaid has had himself 17 points last week. He's officially the tight end one out in Buffalo. And so I think this will be a shootout. Both defenses are solid, but I think these offenses, they're back. They're going to kill it. Their primetime game got, you know, kind of shut down last year for unfortunate reasons, and I think they're ready for a shootout this year. They're ready to get it settled. It's going to be a great game for primetime next week. And then my next must-start is Alvin Kamara versus the Bears. I'm sure you were going to start him anyway,
yes,
because
dude.
He has been phenomenal.
I can't believe how well he's been
Yes,
doing.
He's been incredible since he came back. He's had a pretty lackluster couple years previously, but ever since he came back from that suspension, he's been incredible. And this week he gets the Bears, who are not good against the run, and I think Kamara dominates. He's going to get like 14 catches on checkdowns because it's all Derek Carr does. So that's my must starts of the week. Must sits. Let's go, Jake.
I will say real quick, it's really awesome seeing Alvin Kamara playing good football.
It's though. Crazy.
It really is nice.
Ever since that game, I believe it was Christmas. I think it was
yep.
on Christmas Day. Christmas.
Six.
With the cleats.
I was just, man,
lost a fantasy title on that day.
That was a great, great great day, and Kamara's back. Anyway, my must-sits, it's a guy who had on my must-start last week, and I'm really ashamed that I did it because he ended up only having 4.3 points because I kind of realized that he's just not good. And it's Alexander Madison.
Yeah, he's not good.
He's not.
I'm really sorry about putting him in my must-starts last week because I actually ended up benching him anyway. He's a must-sit this week. They're playing Atlanta. Atlanta's deep run defense is pretty, it's been better this year than years in the past. And really, Madison just, I still want to believe in him. I don't know why, because Kirk Cousins is gone. They have a backup in, so maybe they'll give him some more carries.
Pretty sure he got out-touched by Cam Akers
this week, too. So he's a sit. The hype around Madison and him being a Dalvin Cook type guy is just completely gone. So don't start him this week. And my second one is Miles Sanders, another running back for the Panthers.
Is he even on the team anymore?
I don't know. I feel
Chuba Hubbard
feel
took
bad.
His job.
His workload is just gone in Carolina, and he's just not a trustworthy fantasy starter on my team or on any team for the rest of the year.
You could drop him, to be completely honest.
I could agree.
My must-sits this week, I've got a couple of guys. I want to start off with DK Metcalf. He's yet to score under 10 points this season. He has missed one game, but he gets a tough Baltimore defense this week on the road. It's going to be a tough matchup, and he got 14 targets last week and turned it into 11.7 fantasy points. So it's not a target issue. He's just not really getting it done right now, and I would expect him to not get it done at a elite level this week against Baltimore. I also... My next must-sit, it's going to be a tough one to swallow, but it's Keenan Allen.
Wow.
Two rough weeks in a row, and now he's going to be one-on-one against Sauce Gardner in New York. That's not a matchup that I like. It's not a matchup that I would like to take. If I'm starting him, obviously, if you don't have a choice but to start him, you have to. But if you have somebody on your bench who's a better option, I would take them this week. And then a quick shout out to Jordan Addison and KJ Osborne. I would sit them at least this week while Minnesota sorts out their quarterback situation and just see how they each perform with Jaren Hall back there now. I wouldn't be comfortable starting either of those guys in any leagues at this point right now.
Yeah, Lincoln, I had a very, very similar ideas to you. I had DK Metcalf as well, but I'm going to pivot away from him, and I'm going to go with Justin Herbert. You had Keenan Allen, but I'm going to go with Herbert because this New York Jets defense knows how to shut down elite quarterbacks. Herbert had a dominant week versus the Chicago Bears on primetime, but again, it was just the Bears. Herbert, in my eyes, could be an MVP candidate if he wants to at some point in the year, but it's not going to be this week against the Jets. The Jets have been phenomenal. Sauce Gardner's been great. DJ Reed's been great. They have phenomenal safeties, a great defensive line. CJ Mosley demanding the defense at linebacker. It's going to be tough for Herbert to get things going. They've been inconsistent at points in the year. Brandon Staley's not going to know how to coach this team to any wins, really. So I'm going to sit Justin Herbert as much as it hurts to say, because elite quarterbacks, they don't know how to play against the Jets. And then I'm going to also sit Marquise Brown this week against the Cleveland Browns. Marquise Brown has been solid. He's been definitely startable, but the Browns defense is something else. Miles Garrett rushing the quarterback. They have their rookie quarterback Clayton Tune starting out in Arizona. So I don't foresee things going well for Marquise Brown. He's had his ups and downs, but it's definitely going to be a down week this week for the veteran wide receiver, the speedster out in Arizona. So with that being said, let's move on to our panic or pause segment.
The greatest part of the show.
Yes, it's been
left
cut
a
short.
A lot of time for today.
Yes, we've been cut short on time the last couple episodes, but we're finally going to be able to go through it. Jake, let's start.
I got two running backs that hopefully I'll be able to talk about both of them. And the first one I'm going to talk about is a running back in Dallas.
Whoa.
I've got him listed on here.
Tony Pollard.
He's freaking me out, man.
He's scared.
Talk to me, fellas. Talk to me.
He's scared.
Zach,
me, man.
You can, if you, talk to me. Anybody who wants to talk about Tony Pollard?
I'll start real quick because I, in my big league, just traded Jamar Chase in order to get Tony Pollard, Brandon Ayuk, and Calvin Ridley.
Ow.
So none of them. Oh, Ayuk had a good week, but Ridley has been atrocious. And Tony Pollard, who I thought was going to be balling, did not. He only had 6 points this week. And it's been terrible. His yards per carry has not been good. He has been not very good in the passing offense. It's been disappointing for Pollard, who really showed out last year over Ezekiel Elliott, and it's not like he has a ton of contention back there in that backfield. It's kind of just him, unless you want to count Deuce Vaughn. Oh, no. So I'm kind of panicking on Tony Pollard right now. I just traded for him. Jamar Chase had himself a week. I'm pressing the panic button on Tony Pollard. I'm freaking out.
Really?
I'm freaking out.
You're freaking out?
I'm freaking out.
I had him as a pause, but I'm looking at his schedule, and it's not pretty. Philadelphia twice for the rest of the year. He gets Buffalo once. He gets Detroit once. I mean, he gets Seattle once, who's pretty good against the run.
This is scary.
Even the Giants he gets, who have been good against the run this year. Outside of that, he obviously gets his two games against the Commanders, whose entire defensive line is about to get traded anyway. So I wouldn't be too worried about those matchups. But the schedule's rough, and the workload isn't there. He only had 12 carries this week and one reception for 2 yards. He's only gone over 10 fantasy points once in the last 4 weeks. I mean, you're really just like,
I don't
know what to say.
They were up huge against the Rams.
Yeah, why aren't
they
running the ball?
Give them the ball?
I don't understand. I don't know.
Like, I don't know if I would panic yet. I'd probably still lean pause because I know he's talented and I know he's probably the second most. He's definitely the second most dynamic player they have in that offense. They're going to have to use him at some point if they want to keep winning football games. So I would probably still pause on it, but I'm getting closer to panic here.
I'm freaking out.
I would like to.
Zach, give it to me. You're in a $50 buy-in fantasy league, your biggest league. Tony Pollard's on your team. What do you do? Do you trade him or do you keep him? Give me the panic or pause.
Tony Pollard?
Tony Pollard.
Right now, I don't know. I wouldn't panic. I wouldn't really panic.
You're
going to
pause on
right
Pollard?
Now.
All right.
Because right now, then his trade value isn't really that good right now.
True. I agree. The trade value is not there. It's what low. Are you going to get for
Pollard? If you get a bag of Cheetos for him, I'd probably take it.
Yeah, a half bag of Lay's or something. Nothing great.
One of the school lunch Lay's where it's half air.
Okay. One of those really soft
the
apples.
Baked Lay's. Tony baked Pollard Lays. Is worth a bag of baked Lay's.
That's low.
Whoa, hold on. There's no need to start hitting on the baked Lay's.
The plain ones, not the barbecue ones, the plain ones.
Okay, well.
The barbecue ones are fire.
The plain, low-fat baked Lay's.
Yeah.
All right, next panic or pause, who do we got?
It's another running back. It's in Cleveland this time, a guy that people spent, in any fab league, they spent probably all their fab on him
Nick
when
Chubb.
He was available.
Yeah.
It's Nick Chubb's replacement.
We'll panic on Nick
he
Chubb.
He was supposed to be Nick Chubb's replacement. It's Jerome Ford. What do you guys think?
You go ahead, Jake.
I don't even think, not to diminish the question, but like panic. Like I'm done. I'm honestly, I was panicking before. I'm like completely done panicking because I'm just like, it's Kareem Hunt year. Like,
he scored 17 points last week.
Who, Ford? Healthy. Interesting.
He did have like a 63-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then he got banged up.
High ankle sprain.
So, yeah, he had like 13.6 points after that first drive. So you take that away, he scores 5-6 fantasy points that entire game.
Probably.
So I guess I'm panicking because if you have Ford on your team and not Kareem Hunt, you're in a little bit of a predicament that you need to get yourself out mm-hmm. of. Go get Kareem Hunt if you can. I don't want Jerome Ford on my team. I truly don't.
No. Yeah, I mean, Kareem Hunt, I think, has taken that job away from Ford. Literally, as soon as Nick Chubb went down, everybody's like, oh, get Jerome Ford. He's going to be so awesome on waivers. And Kareem Hunt goes and gets signed right after. And I think Kareem Hunt took that job. It's too late for Ford now. I think it's Kareem Hunt's backfield. He's been out snapping Ford. I'm sorry, Ford owners, but it's Kareem Hunt time. It's not like the Browns are going to be winning a ton of games because of that offense, but Kareem Hunt's going to be getting the bulk of the carries.
Yeah, I mean, the bigger issue.
I'm panicking.
Yeah, I'm full panic mode as well. The bigger issue for me is the high ankle sprain. That doesn't go away,
yeah,
and it affects running backs at a significantly higher rate than every other position on the field. He was healthy. He actually played this week, which was really shocking to me in the first place, but he only had 9 carries for 37 yards. He had 1 catch for 2 yards. Sounds like a Tony Pollard stout line. But yeah,
I'm surprised he even had 9 carries.
And yeah, and the other issue here is that he's not going to touch the ball inside the 10-yard line. Kareem Hunt has 5 rushing touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. Jerome Ford, 1, and it was the 63-yard touchdown.
Yeah, it's over.
If you spend all your fab on Jerome Ford, I'm sorry you can't have it back, but
yep.
No refunds on this one, but you can put him back on waivers if you're in an 8-man league or even a 10-man league at this point.
It's wraps.
It's over for Jerome Ford.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Let's move on to my option really quick. Mine is another group of people, and this one is the entire Green Bay Packers offense.
Oh, Lord.
Because they have been sad, depressing, awful these last few weeks. Even with Aaron Jones coming back, he has been no good. So either of you guys, what are we thinking on the Packers offense? Because they've all been kind of depressing recently.
Man. It actually, like, physically pains me to watch the Packers offense on Sundays. It's like I get, like, a deep sadness every time I hear it's 1st and 10 and Jordan Love's running out onto the field.
Mm-hmm.
And this sucks especially because I had a lot of faith in Jordan Love coming into the year, and he was good in, like, the first 2 games, and then he's looked like 2022 Russell Wilson ever since. So the only guys in here that I have a little bit of faith still in is Romeo Doubs, because if they get a touchdown, it's probably going to Romeo Doubs.
Interesting. I'd say the only guy I have faith in is
and then Aaron Jones if
Watson.
He's on the field.
Watson hasn't been great.
Surprising, I know, but like I just
and if yeah, I mean, it's more just like if Aaron Jones is on the field, that's really the only guy that I'm confident
and
starting.
He hasn't been any good like since he came back
because they're losing every game by like 10 points. They can't give him the ball,
and he's a pass catcher too, which is confusing. They're not getting him the ball.
But yeah, like
I don't know what it is.
If you have a Packer on your team and you're relying on them to score fantasy points, I'm terrified. It's spooky season in Green
Bay literally.
Right now.
I traded away Christian Watson right before. He just like, well, he put up like 11 points, 12 points, mm-hmm. and I was like, let's see if I can trade him away because I don't trust this team.
Yeah, like, it's a team that could unironically compete for the number one overall pick.
They could, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't know. I think we start. You start with Jordan Love.
It all starts.
He played phenomenal the first 2.5-3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then it just went to
the dump.
Yeah. That's
for lack of a better word.
Yep. But yeah, I mean that it's just scary, especially like when you have an offense that you're looking for like one person, you think, oh, there's an elite running back in this backfield, you can trust him. No, mm-mm. It's a committee now. Like,
yep.
And AJ Dillon is bad.
Yeah, he's not even good.
Like
he's a great goal line back. He's a truck. He'll get
which
you.
Is not a help.
The quad father.
No, Aaron Jones.
Yeah, no, it doesn't help. He's not a fantasy back. It doesn't help. And like you said, it doesn't help Aaron Jones' fantasy value. If you have any Packers player on your fantasy team, I'm really sorry.
Yeah, and I mean, it, like on the other hand, it all starts with Matt LaFleur, who's also been extremely disappointing
that.
This season. And if Matt LaFleur can't figure out the offense, what is the offense supposed to do?
Yep.
So
well, people are starting to realize that offense was ran by Aaron Rodgers and not
Davante Adams
yeah.
too.
So
panic for the Packers offense.
It's a disaster
to wrap
in Green
it up.
Bay.
Yeah. All right, Jake. Next one.
My second panic or pause. I'll try to get through this one quickly. Is another running back, but for the Colts, Jonathan Taylor.
Interesting.
What do you guys think? I think it's more of a. I could see a lot of pauses coming from this, but I could also see someone to panic a little bit because Zach Moss is still screwing around and getting touchdowns.
Yeah.
And touches and receptions. So
I was just going to say that, yeah.
What do you guys think?
I'm going to hit the pause button really quick on Jonathan Taylor. He just saw that fat deal come in. however, yeah. Zach Moss, he's been getting a ton of touches, and it's confusing considering he's not getting paid any money, but he still scored a touchdown this week. Jonathan Taylor.
Hurt.
Yeah, that too. Jonathan Taylor had a 63-yard run this week. The electricity's there. He still has that big play ability. I'm going to pause on Jonathan Taylor. He's still one of the top running backs in the league. We just got to hope Zach Moss takes a little bit of a chill pill and they let Jonathan Taylor fully run that offense. I think the reason they're having Moss take as many snaps is because Taylor wasn't really there for training camp and OTAs and all of that. He missed the first couple weeks. So they're kind of just slowly bringing Jonathan Taylor back into the offense, and he's slowly getting more and more involved. So I'm gonna pause on Jonathan Taylor for now because I think eventually Zach Moss will kind of fade out of that offense, and Taylor will be the bell cow, so to speak.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna pause too. I mean, it's also just especially at like the draft discount that people got him out. I mean, he was like a 5th, 6th round pick in those leagues. Sometimes he went later than that. So it's not like you're looking at, I drafted him first overall like we did last year and he's falling apart. It's like it's a 6th round running back. You've probably got other options. And he scored 21 points 2 weeks ago against Cleveland, which is an even tougher run defense. Actually, maybe not than New Orleans that he played last week. But 12 carries, another guy with one reception for 2 yards. Can we stop getting one catch for 2 yards for fantasy running backs?
Hey, that's 1.2 fantasy points you didn't have before.
Exactly.
That is 1.2 fantasy points. But, speaking of receptions, that's another thing that's leading me to pause on him. Minshew loves to check the football down because he doesn't have a lot of arm strength, and especially in Indianapolis where, you know, I don't know how much time he has to throw the ball there. I actually don't know how good their O-line's been, but Minshew is definitely a guy who likes to check the ball down, and Taylor's a guy that can catch the football.
Yeah.
So I would definitely pause on him and just keep waiting it out. He's still the RB1 there. It should pan out eventually, in my opinion.
Definitely.
Oh, my second one. All right, well, this will get interesting. I got Chris Olave.
I had him as mine, too.
Yeah, really? I got Chris Olave in New Orleans. He's had 2 games over 10 points in the last 5 weeks, and that Saints offense outside of last week, where he still only scored 9.6 points, has been very bad. So what do you guys think about Chris Olave?
As a Chris Olave owner and a major Chris Olave fanboy going into the season, I'm kind of freaking out a bit. I drafted him in the 3rd round. I'm pretty sure that's where that was his average ADP. So he's a 3rd round guy. A lot of people's are wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2, but he's been disappointing. You're expecting this guy to be averaging 14, 15 points a game, but he just hasn't been doing that. And what's making me the most mad is Derek Carr is airing it out to Rashid Shaheed like 6 times a game, and Chris Olave is not seeing that deep target production, which is confusing considering Jameis Winston was airing it out to him last year, and it was working just fine. So I'm pressing a small panic button on Chris Olave. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with him in my fantasy leagues because I have him in basically all of them. I was a big believer. Hopefully he has a big second half of the season. But as of right now, I'm freaking out a bit because Michael Thomas has been developing well on that offense alongside Derek Carr. Rashid Shaheed's been great. Alvin Kamara's been one of the top running backs in fantasy football. But Chris Olave, of all people, the second-year wide receiver who's supposed to be their big guy, is kind of suffering from all of it. He's been mediocre, middle of the pack. So I'm going to press the small panic button. It's not the big one that I have to the right. It's the little small one. So, Jake, what do you think?
I didn't realize you had two buttons sitting over there. That's pretty,
yeah.
That's actually pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with my pause button. I'm not panicked on Chris Olave because – he's had a couple of games. Yeah, the 1.4 point game was rough, and then 2 9-point games. But other than that, he had 19, 14, 18, 16. 12 isn't bad. That's not exactly what you want to see out of a third-round player. But, I mean, I still think he's the wide receiver one, and it's not like he's not getting targets. He had 9 targets this week, 15 targets. Let's see here.
I mean, he had 100 yards in
10 targets. Yeah. And his schedule going forward isn't that hard. I mean, he's got
the NFC South.
He's
in that division. He's got Chicago, who is the Bears. He's got Minnesota, and we know how good their defense has been. Atlanta's defense, we saw what D-Hop just did to them. Detroit's defense, Carolina's defense, the Giants, the Rams secondary, and then the Bucks secondary. I mean, Olave's schedule for the rest of this year is pretty, I'd say, on the better side. And I think Derek Carr will get back to him. So I'm going to pause on Olave.
Okay. Freaking out on Olave a little bit. But I'm going to move on to my last panic or pause guy. And that is Jalen Waddle out for Miami and the Dolphins. He was a 1,400-yard receiver last year. But Tyreek Hill has completely stolen that spotlight this year. He has all the potential to make up for it. But he's been a little disappointing this season. What are we thinking on Jalen Waddle?
I'm going with pause on Waddle. Waddle had a great week this
week. Scored 25.1 this week.
Yeah, they had it was weird. Waddle and Hill had the same stat line, but one had one more catch. It was let's see what it was.
8 for 125 and 7 for 121.
Yeah,
because I had Hill.
It was something weird like that. But I mean, Waddle isn't having the 1,400 receiving yard season like he did last year. I mean, he was banged up. But he had a great week this week. And I think Tua knows if they want to keep winning and be a top team in the AFC, they have to give the ball to both of them. They can't.
Because you can bracket Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like a KC situation where you can put a shadow Hill with a corner and then put a safety over top and then they can dump it off to Kelsey.
I don't even know who their starting tight end is.
Exactly. What I'm saying is the Dolphins don't have a Travis Kelce on their team. They have he's got to give it to Jalen Waddle. I mean, granted, their running backs are really good, but if Tua wants to win, which he clearly does, Waddle's going to have a good year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at 10 targets, 9 targets, 6 targets, 12 targets the last 4 weeks. It's a definite pause for me, over 120 yards this week, as we just mentioned. I mean, it's basically just like Jake said. If the Dolphins want to win, Jalen Waddle's got to touch the football. So I would expect him. He's had 3 touchdowns in the last 4 weeks. So definitely pause on him over 10 points for 4 straight weeks. You're looking at a pretty
solid. Yeah, to add on what Jake said, I mean, he's a dynamic receiver, and he's been going through some, concussion protocols too. So he's kind of been in and out of the lineup. But in order for the Dolphins to win it all, they got to, they got to split it between. It can't just be Tyreek Hill running the offense and Tua just giving him the ball. They got to split it up, and they got to go evenly with that. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was going to pause on Waddle, too. He had a great week this week. I was a little skeptical in the first few weeks because he was coming back from an injury, not seeing a ton of production, but he finally got it this week, and I think he'll keep it rolling. That Dolphins offense is incredible, and they're going to find a way to spread the ball to everybody. Jalen Waddle is going to get his fair share of the love. Thank you all for tuning in to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa and the Student Section Fantasy Sports Show. We'll see you all next Monday night. Peace.